It was Agatha all along, which means your geek history lesson on Agatha Harkness is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Warlock Inman. Welcome to Geek History Lesson, the podcast where we take one character from comic books, movies, this week it's television, and we tell you everything you need to know about them in a little bit less than an hour. And today's person that we're doing the Geek History Lesson on is Agatha Harkness. Now, you might be asking yourself, who the hell is Agatha Harkness? And my answer to you is Catherine Hahn. But Ashley, we might want to elaborate a little bit more on what does this mean? Who is Agatha Harkness? Why are we talking about her?
Well, I'm going to tell you in the entire lesson, but most notably, she is a supporting character in the WandaVision television series and a longstanding member of the Marvel 616 universe. She's a witch.
That's correct.
Cool. Witch. Did you ever think we'd do an Agatha Harkness episode?
No.
I can't wait for season 2 when we do Bova.
Oh, boy. Are we going to talk about Bova?
No, we're not going to talk about Bova.
Bova is a cow creature in the Marvel universe.
By the way,
go Google Bova.
Does make a cameo in WandaVision.
Sort of.
Yeah.
So does the Grim Reaper, but we're not going to talk about that. We're here to talk about Agatha Harkness, right?
Yes, we are.
Was this requested by anybody?
You better freaking believe it.
Are you serious?
We have 4 TAs on this episode.
Okay, so listeners out there, if you've never listened to our podcast before, hello, welcome. But you can go to @GHL Podcast on Twitter, or go to facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, and you can request a character that we want to do in the future. And apparently 4 people were so ahead of the ball that they requested Agatha Harkness, because I would say most people that viewed WandaVision did not know that Agatha Harkness was going to be in this thing.
Yeah. So, and then they named a character Agnes, and everyone said, hey, I bet.
Who are the 4 very forward-thinking TAs of this episode?
So our 4 amazing TAs this episode are Adam Wolf, Victoria Malle, Tom Trainer, and Forrest Satchel. Thank you so much, all those beautiful, sexy people, for supporting and for requesting this episode. I do want to say, before we dive in too deep, we are going to reference WandaVision. We're going to do our very best not to cut too many spoilers, but if you just make sure that you're all caught up and you're happy with your WandaVision knowledge throughout this episode.
Well, we're not going to spoil the ending.
No. But we are going to reference things that happened not in the first episode.
Sure.
That's all that I mean.
Sure.
Which is why we're putting this episode out when we're putting it out.
Spoiler warning, everybody, in case. But at this point, didn't everybody in the world? Well, there are some foreign listeners that may have not seen WandaVision. I'm not certain the foreign releases, but yeah. I would say it kind of seemed like it was the show that everybody in America watched.
I mean, according to everything that was spoiled for me on Twitter, everyone in the world watched it before I did. So I just wanted to be respectful and say, if you haven't seen WandaVision, proceed at your own risk.
Well, that's very fair, Ashley.
Yeah. But before we dive too deep into this, I think we want to do a little divergence and tell you about another podcast that we're doing over on the Patreon.
Yeah, that's right. So for a long time, I've been wanting to launch a new podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about how to do this and what the subject matter was, and I finally settled on Justice League, the animated series. That's right. We are launching a brand new podcast. Myself and my longtime best friend, Jeremy Skinner, who has been a guest on Geek History Lesson.
Yep.
We are launching Jason and Jeremy John About Justice League. It's a title with so many J's. Actually, the patrons picked it, so that's why we went with it. And that is launching on Patreon this week. The first 2 episodes are already available. By the end of this week, the 3rd episode will be available. And you can go find it over at patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. It's a very fun look at every single episode of Justice League, the Animated Series, because it's the 20th anniversary of Justice League, the Animated Series. And it's a podcast full of segments, nerdy talk by 2 nerdy people who love DC. And if you come over and support and become a Justice Patron, as I'm calling them, at the tier for the Justice League podcast, from now until the end of March 2021, if you're a Justice Patron supporting the Justice League podcast and above, or an old patron at that level, we're going to send you a personalized postcard in the mail. Yeah, that mail still exists, signed by myself, thanking you for supporting the Justice League podcast with some amazing Justice League art, where I'm bearded Superman and Jeremy is bearded Flash.
Yeah, that's true.
If you ever wanted to see the Justice League with beards, that's how you're going to do it. So patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N.
Yeah, and then, like Jason mentioned, our patrons, our super friends, named the podcast. So there's definitely chances for more interactions and more producerly and more crazy things we haven't even thought of yet.
We have fan questions on that podcast every single week. And again, and at the Justice Pod, we should also elaborate. There's way more podcasts than just the Justice League podcast.
Oh, yes.
Geek Heroes Listen Extra, Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures. So many podcasts, we decided to give you one more. But go check that out. And thank you to all the super friends who already do. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. Alrighty. So let's jump to the first part of the podcast. Jason, what's that?
That is the 10-cent origin, where Ashley is going to give you the Cliff Notes version of everything you need to know about Marvel luminary Agatha Harkness. And if you ever go to a cool coven party, somebody's like, Have you seen these runes about Agatha Harkness? You can be like, yeah, and I know what they mean, thanks to Geek History Lesson.
They're not runes. Your 10-cent origin on Agatha Harkness is that she is a Marvel Comics character. She is a witch. She was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. And her first appearance is in Fantastic Four number 94, which debuted in January of 1970. Her team affiliations include Daughters of Liberty, the Fantastic Four, and Scarlet Witch. And she is considered, and her abilities include being a highly skilled magic user, having manipulation over magical forces, teleportation, energy projection, tapping extra-dimensional energy, invocation of entities or objects of power, traveling to worlds tangential to Earth, spell work, mesmerism, thought casting, illusion casting, being a gifted intellectual, apparently we are all superheroes, and a vast knowledge of magical lore. She has a familiar named Ebony Jason. What's a familiar?
It's like a pet that sort of follows you around, is your companion, sometimes connected to your soul.
Yeah, they in the European folklore tradition, they also enhance your magic, and they're considered to be cunning, meaning that they have that magical sight. So intern Brago, who is currently climbing around and being quite distracting, is our familiar here on the podcast.
Where is he?
He is over there under the bookshelf. He was crawling between there and the lamps.
That little scoundrel.
Yeah, there you go.
Get over here and work, intern cat.
Ebony, as the name suggests, is a pet black cat with the ability to transform into a large, ferocious Black Panther. Bad things happen to Ebony, and we will talk about it.
Ashley, I believe you said that word wrong. In the Marvel Universe, it's Panta.
A Black Panta.
Panta.
No, there you go. Panta. Depending on which character is reading the lines.
Yes.
And fun fact, Jack Harkness from the Doctor Who franchise is named after Agatha Harkness.
Did not know that. Russell T. Davies is an Agatha Harkness fan.
A deep cut. Wow. So he's either a Scarlet Witch fan or a FF fan. So shout out to him.
Might be both.
Yes, that's true. He seems like a nice nerd. And she is voiced in animation by Elizabeth Shepherd in The Avengers United We Stand and Pauline Newstone, a nice Canadian, in X-Men Evolution. And recently, at the time of this recording, made her live-action debut by the legendary Catherine Hahn in WandaVision. More on that later.
Call her Catherine. I call her Mrs. Fletcher.
That's right. Everyone watch Mrs. Fletcher. It's great.
Nobody watched it. That show was great.
Yeah. You and I watched it, and that's what matters. Right. All right, let's move on to the next part of the podcast.
Yes, the next part of the podcast is the meet-cute, where Ashley and I are going to tell everybody out there where we first meted and cuted the character. It's a term that we stole from romantic comedies. Ashley, what the heck is your answer going to be for where you first meted and cuted Agatha Harkness? I'm very curious about this.
Literally no idea.
It WandaVision?
It was not WandaVision. Oh. I knew who she was before then.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'd ever read a story with her in it. So I just want to say that I had never been more interested in this character than WandaVision made me. And that is a great thing about adaptation and about taking these characters into other mediums, is they can encourage you to check out, do deep dives, explore, and read stuff that you've never read before. So I don't know my real meet cute, but I guess my most important meet cute is really WandaVision, because that's where she kind of became solidified as more than just a supporting player in my mind.
Sure.
So Jason, what's your meet cute?
My meet cute for Agatha Harkness is that I know sometime in the past, I read a John Byrne Fantastic Four issue, and she was the old nanny of Franklin. That's about it.
I think that's fair. And this is
she is an old lady in the comic books. How she's portrayed, like Catherine Hahn is
sexy Agatha Harkness.
Oh yes, yeah, very much so.
Yes, yeah. No, she is consistently portrayed even up until
Professor McGonagall is kind of who Agatha is in the comic books.
Oh man, Maggie Smith would have been such a freaking good comic book classic Agatha Harkness. But even through in 2015, the Scarlet Witch solo series by James Robinson, the moment of the sick David Aja covers debuted.
Yeah.
She kind of appears in that, and she is definitely portrayed as a woman who is definitely visually in her 70s or 80s.
Yeah, like it. WandaVision, the television show, I think is going to lead, and I said this before, we're absolutely going to get an Agatha Harkness, I think, miniseries, and they're going to redraw. I think any future story now, Agatha Harkness is going to look like Catherine Hahn.
You know what? Characters could do way worse.
I'm fine with it, man. Hey, if we want to call it the Catherine Hahn retcon, I'm down.
The Hahnissance?
The Hahncon.
Oh my God. Amazing. 10 out of 10. Someone put it on a t-shirt. Let's put it on a t-shirt.
You know what? Let's put that out there. Disney, give us HanCon 2022. I will be there. That's the first con I'll go back to after pandemic.
It's just Catherine Hahn on stage talking about how great she is. I would totally be there.
She would speak. It would be an empty amphitheater, and I would be like...
And then she'd close us out with a song and an over-exaggerated wink.
Yeah,
we'd love to see it.
Every time you walk into the hallway, it's a little bit of this. Hold on.
Lovely to finally meet you, dear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's the best. Truly, I would probably burst into tears if she said that to me.
Lovely to finally meet you, dear.
Yeah.
HanCon.
HanCon.
HanCon 2022. I'll see you there.
Hashtag HanCon 2022. If anyone knows Catherine Hahn, please connect her with us.
Well, as everybody out there, listeners know, I know we're getting way off into the weeds here, but we do the Jawan charity drive for service members in November. And should we... should we invite Catherine Hahn for HanCon during that?
You know who we should invite?
Who?
Nick Bakay.
Nick Bakay, we should explain, the voice of Salem.
This is famously only to Jason and I, somebody did make him aware of our love and adoration of him on our Sabrina Geek History lesson, and he has agreed to perhaps ever deign to speak with us in real life. So
yes.
We should have him because he's amazing.
Yes, but...
All right,
sure.
But HanCon...
HanCon 2022.
Let's move right on into the
history... We'll see you there, Catherine.
Absolutely. Into the History 101, which is, of course, the main meat of the lesson where I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about Agatha Harkness, right? I got that right?
It's your podcast, too, so yeah.
You know what? Some people on the internet would hard disagree with you.
Well, they're wrong.
Someone recently told me I was a great guest on your podcast.
Well, you are a great guest on my podcast.
Thank you.
And I will say that I think I'm a pretty good guest than yours.
Yeah, you're probably my favorite guest.
Yeah.
That's why I keep having you back. Also because you produce and do all the hard work.
Let's talk about a witch.
Yes. So Jason earlier made an ageist comment and implied that Agatha Harkness is 100,000 years old, and he's pretty much exactly correct.
She is.
So her exact age is actually unknown. And I do want to say, there's nothing wrong with being an old lady. Respect old ladies raise the world. Although she does state during her first appearance in Fantastic Four, number 94, that she can cast her memory back 500 years before Atlantis sank. So, for my history and mythology buffs, you know that it is considered to be around 10,500 BCE is when Atlantis supposedly sank.
Mm-hmm. Or to Conan the Barbarian fans... At the times where the ocean sank Atlantis, the age of high adventure.
Yeah, so she can... Thank you, Mako.
Hey, you're welcome.
She can... Drink your tea. She can remember back 13,500 years.
Yeah.
And as we know, a lot of us live longer than we can remember, so she's probably older than that.
I gotta say, it's interesting because the first 100 episodes... or excuse me, issues of Fantastic Four by Jack Kirby and Stan Lee are the foundation of the modern Marvel universe. And
yeah.
It's where...
And every other Marvel story that's ever been told in a lot of ways.
A lot of ways, everything comes from those 100 issues. And so it's quite compelling, and it makes Agatha more interesting to me that she is also a piece from those 100 issues. That's very cool. She is foundational to the Marvel universe.
I was fully shocked that she was a Lee and Kirby creation.
I mean, I'm going to be
honest. I thought she was a Byrne creation.
I thought she was a John Byrne creation as well. I did. Yep.
Because I know that a lot of her more significant appearances, which we'll get to, kind of take place in that sort of second golden era of the Fantastic Four.
Yep.
So at the time. So if we're casting our mind back to
the time of Atlantis,
13,500 years ago, Agatha knew an entity called the Scryer. I don't know if you're familiar with the Scryer.
I am not.
The Scryer is this wild, mystical 616 universe and is considered to be older than the 616 universe and time itself. So ancient, powerful being. And he purportedly promised Agatha that he would return to her when he was needed, although apparently turned out to be like a real deadbeat and has never come back again. So he's like her first lost love in a lot of ways.
What a bum.
Yeah, how like a man.
Whoa, easy there. Easy.
Agatha declared that the Scryer was destroyed and would never come back. He is resurrected a couple times, like tens of thousands of years later, though.
Can I ask the spelling of Scryer?
Yes, it is like scrying, like to watch over something.
Okay, okay.
So it is S-C-R-I-E-R.
I didn't know if it was like a fake spelling. All right.
No, it's a real English word spelling.
Yep.
But thank you for asking.
Yep.
Her next significant memory is probably the most obvious place for a fictional witch to have ever popped up. It's so obvious we even saw it writ large in WandaVision. Jason, which historical period do you think we see Agatha at next?
HanCon 2022?
We can only wish.
Oh!
with those carved out cheekbones and eyebrows.
I'm going to say the Salem witch trials.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
So she is sort of ambiguously from Eastern Europe in the same way that like Bova and Wanda are sort of ambiguously, you know, Romany from Eastern Europe. Agatha immigrated to the United States when they were but wee colonies, and she settled in, of course, Salem, Massachusetts. There, Agatha did what all witchy women do, create an album with Stevie Nicks. I could only wish. Stevie Nicks, hot take, doesn't get her due.
Is Stevie Nicks coming to HanCon?
Oh, I would pass away.
HanCon is quickly becoming my must-go, my must-see event.
A real feminist parade.
I mean, if it's Catherine Hahn and Stevie Nicks, sign me up for five tickets.
And returning guest Kevin Smith, of course.
Kevin Smith's going to be at HanCon,
yeah,
too?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It's going to be great.
This is a murderer's row of a convention.
She, of course, attracted a bunch of other badass ladies, and they formed a coven with the intention of practicing their magic and their spiritual beliefs without persecution in the New World. Now, benefiting from colonialism aside, I think it's a pretty noble thing to want to just hang out with a bunch of like-minded people away from all the other weird people and just engage spiritually together. I think that's really lovely and noble. However, as listeners may have surmised, when 1692 rolled around, the Puritans literally got all up in arms and launched the murder campaign against the educated women, which is commonly referred to as the Salem witch trials, because only women, because, you know, they only killed women. So we don't call it a genocide. We call it a trial. By the way, it was a genocide. Genocide, by definition, is an intentional act to destroy a people. So let's call it what it is, but that's a different discussion.
I want to just interject here,
yeah.
Ashley, real quick. I just want to say for any of the XY chromosome listeners right now who might be like, Ashley and bringing too much feminism into the podcast. Actually what Ashley is saying is actually a very educated and actually very proper way to look at the Salem witch trials. That is actually, I read that like 5 or 6 years ago, actually.
Yeah.
And it kind of blew my mind of this idea to think about it, that why isn't that called a genocide? Because a whole generation of women were killed. So all of Ashley's points, very valid. And I think very educational. If you don't know about that, go do some research on it. And if any of that bothers you, I would say, check your biases and shut up.
Yeah.
All right.
So now that we're back on the subject of comics, Jason, do you know who Firestar is?
Oh, do you mean the redhead girl with the fire powers?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yes, I do. She's one of the new warriors.
Yes. So I was actually going to say that she's most famous for appearing in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah, she's one of the amazing friends.
Yeah.
Do you know who the other one is?
Iceman.
Yeah, there you go. Well
Bobby
done,
Bobby Drake. Questionably queer Bobby Drake, depending on which Marvel X-Men continuity you're invested in.
Fair.
So I know this seems like a like wild left turn, and I'm going to tell you why I'm bringing Firestar up, because you're probably thinking she didn't exist in the 1600s, but I'm really glad that you asked. Firestar, through some other shenanigans we're not going to go the deep into, had been sent back in time and landed in 1692, where the Puritans immediately thought she was a witch.
I would think she was a witch.
She was not. She's a mutant.
She wears a yellow leotard and she fires fire out of her hands.
I mean, she sounds like someone who hangs out in downtown LA in the drag bars. So they did what Puritans love to do, burn people at the stake. Actual witch, Agatha Harkness, not currently being burned at the stake, fortunately steps in, saves Firestar's life, leads her away from the mob to the safety of the forest. She then reveals who she actually is, and she reveals that she is in favor of the Salem witch trials.
Agatha is.
Okay. Actual witch, Agatha Harkness, is pro burning other witches. Jason, why do you think this is?
Are they Skrulls?
They're not Skrulls. They are human women.
Okay.
Who in the Marvel Universe do have powers, are witches.
Is it because, is this when Agatha was evil?
Yes.
Okay.
Short answer, yes.
Okay.
TLDR, yes. Agatha stated that it was necessary for magical people to suffer in order to grow stronger. In fact, she had intentionally sacrificed weaker members of her coven in order to cull her followers.
So Agatha, interesting enough, is just as morally ambivalent as the character on the television show.
She is, look, I know we're going to talk about the time when she was a professional nanny, but like she's always low-key
evil.
A bit evil, yeah. Or definitely morally gray, yes.
Well, it's good. Think about Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch as well started as a villain.
Yes, absolutely. Very astute observation. So, does it surprise you to learn that when Agatha, after having explained this, asked Firestar to join her coven, that Firestar refused?
No, because she's an amazing friend.
That's right. Firestar did, before she left, she begged Agatha to protect her coven rather than allowing some of them to die.
Good for Firestar.
And Agatha heeded her wisdom for a minute. So Firestar,
she's like, I'm going to do this until you leave.
She's like, you know what? You've got some neat powers. You might be a witch from the future, so I guess I'll listen. So Firestar goes back to the future, and Agatha and her followers eventually relocated from Salem, Massachusetts to New Salem, Colorado, which is fake and only exists in the Marvel 616 universe. And is considered an underground magical community. Living in New Salem, Agatha grew to absolute power. If you know what Disney movie that is, 10 points for you.
Oh, I thought you were doing Emperor Palpatine.
No. I'm doing a Disney movie.
Because he goes, ultimate power.
No. Ultimate power. Itty bitty living space.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So she grows to absolute power among her community and is referred to in the modern day as a Grand Dame. Now, Jason, what do you think Grand Dame means?
Well, she's a grand lady.
Yeah, kind of. Yes, literally, that's what it means. Actually, literally means, congratulations, French word. Literally means big lady, actually, is the correct.
Oh boy.
Is the actual literal translation.
All right.
But yes, grand lady.
All right.
I'll admit my biases. You surprised me with that one. She was never a benevolent leader, and from time to time would turn over magical users to various witch-killing authorities under the same logic that she began with back in Salem, Massachusetts, that she would cull the weak, which is not a very nice thing to do. Let the little lammies live. Residents of New Salem referred to outsiders as mortals throughout their various histories, which would seem to imply that they are longer-lived, maybe kind of like the Dúnedain in Lord of the Rings, if not completely immortal themselves, because Marvel likes to play fast and loose with the magic and science of it all, depending on the time.
And also the ages.
Yes. Yes.
We don't
nobody
know,
ages.
Well, we don't know how old Agatha is. So,
yes.
Yeah.
She's immortal.
It's kind of like Magneto being 100 now.
Yes. Yeah. But we have that discussion about once a year
yep.
on the podcast.
Yep.
Agatha did eventually marry, although the identity of her husband was never revealed. They did have a child together named Nicholas Scratch. Jason, do you know who Nicholas Scratch is?
I'm going to say no, but that name seems familiar to me.
So Nicholas Scratch is the name of a fictional, fully public domain character who's existed for hundreds of years. He's a version of the devil. He's like a handsome, typically white guy version of the devil. In fact, even The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina has a young hot guy called Nick Scratch.
Cool.
So he's her son is a She's the mother of the devil, basically, which feels on brand. Her next major historical appearance is during the American Revolutionary War. Hooray. Where she is an active member of the Daughters of Liberty, which, fun fact, was a real organization. It was a women's group fighting for justice in the New World. And she was able to greatly contribute to them using her centuries of knowledge in the mystical arts and help spread their message. So that's kind of cool. She crops up again during the Second World War when she is recruited by Major Alan Decor, a.k.a. Decor the Detective Magician, who is a Marvel Comics character I'd never heard of, with his team made up of himself, the Ghost Dancer, and the Emerald Warlock.
And Alexander Hamilton, no?
Unfortunately not. He's not a witch.
Oh, sorry. He might be.
He might be.
He's a pretty funky dude.
If I was going to guess at a cast member of Hamilton who's probably a witch.
David Dix.
Yeah, I was like, but as Lafayette, right? Because Jefferson is not, I'm not allowing him. He is not cool enough to be a witch.
Look, this is not.
Sally's a witch.
This is not Hamilcon, okay?
Hamilcon. But David Dix can come, right?
Of course. At HanCon 2022, yeah. David Dix, you heard it here. We know you listen.
You're from Oakland. You can come. It's not that
come
far.
On in.
And they form a team together called the Department of the Uncanny, which is a pretty cool name, I think.
I guess.
I like it. Together, they fought supernatural threats, namely a villainess called Hilda von Haight, who is pretty much the type of character that her name suggests.
It's a pretty cool name.
Hateful Nazi. No, she's not cool, but
Hilda von Haight is a great name.
It's not. It's a great name. It's not a cool name. The Emerald Warlock, who is an Irish warlock, I believe his name is Declan, eventually goes on to become a Scarlet Witch villain. She kind of inherits him from Agatha in the contemporary series. Then Agatha slips away into obscurity, spending the next decades of her life working as a governess with a focus on educating children in need, which is kind of lovely. And then she meets a really privileged family and throws that all out the window. And it is not until she retires from working in childcare that Agatha is contacted by the Fantastic Four to care for their infant son, Franklin. She takes virtually no convincing and accepts the role immediately. I want to say again, because the Fantastic Four are rich.
They are very rich.
It's like super rich. If you do want to...
Remember, Reed Richards is fantastic. Or Elastic. But he also is fantastic.
I don't know.
That terrible
Reed
theme song.
Reed Richards is a monster.
No.
Yeah, he did that to his friend and his girlfriend.
It was an accident, Ashley.
He still did it?
They all volunteered to go.
Did they?
Oh my God.
If you would
let this poor Hagrid witch into their house, they gave her a job. The Fantastic Four are welcome in HanCon.
Sure. Not Reed. Also,
yes, Reed.
Agatha Harkness, arguably, probably fair. Everyone in the Marvel Universe who's not Peter Parker is rich, okay?
Yep.
If you want to learn more about the Fantastic Four and whether or not they're rich, be sure to listen to episodes 75 and 76 of Geek History Lesson. They're both taught by Jason. They are some of our best lessons to this date. So lots of Fantastic Four stuff there.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say I'm a huge fan of the Fantastic Four. So that's why I knew Agatha from this time period or this idea.
Yeah.
So she always started as their nanny, even back in the Jack Kirby and the Stan Lee stuff.
Yes. In her very first appearance, it's like when they go to her to be their nanny. Everything that I just related to you is told like in flashbacks or in backup stuff like that. But yes, her raison d'etre of this universe is to look after baby Franklin.
So I'm going to put a little frosting on top of this.
Sure.
Agatha Harkness cake. because I'm going to say that Agatha as a witch and in a lot of interpretations of her, she can sense power.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been said in many stories.
Let's hold on.
Oh, you want to wait?
Hold on to that thought a little bit.
Okay. I'll just go over here and I'll draw some more plants up for HanCon.
Because I think you're probably approaching something I'm going
to
bring up in just a few bullet points.
All right. Well, listeners, then all I'll say to this is, should we have a ball pit at HanCon? Ball pit?
No, not in a post-COVID world. No. Photo booth, maybe.
Look, I'm saying that the beauty of Catherine Hahn can fix everything. That's what I'm saying.
Catherine Hahn's face can cure COVID. We're
That's
saying
right. Yes. Right. Yes. You put that winky face of hers up on a billboard. Everybody takes a vaccine.
Oh, man. I am very excited. That's a meme now. I'm very, very, very excited. So at the time that Agatha began caring for Franklin, she lived in this appropriately creepy witch house on top of a creepy witch hill called Whisper.
Why didn't she, the Baxter building is 87 stories high.
Yeah, because they're rich and they're elite and they don't want an old creepy woman living in their house just looking after their son.
Fair.
So she lives in this house on Whisper Hill and she invites the whole family to spend the night there to like get to know her and see if she's going to be a good
And Reed nanny. Said yes.
And of course, a storm prevents them from being able to leave. Uh-huh. And we basically get the haunting of Hill House in a 50-page comic adventure. The Fantastic Four, while staying there, fell into an evil magical painting and did battle against the Frightful Four, who are basically dark mirror versions of the Fantastic Four. Agatha also had to go into the painting and use her powers. And also, this is the first time we see Ebony, her familiar black cat, transform into the familiar Black Panther in order to frighten.
What was that again, sir?
Black Panther.
Thank you.
In order to frighten them into submission.
All right.
Franklin had snoozed the entire time, safe and sound, in Agatha's arms. And this act is actually what convinces Sue that Agatha's going to be a good governess, a good nanny for Franklin.
Well, because Franklin would have been about 2 or 3 at this
time.
Yeah,
like a toddler, a young toddler. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So she stayed on with the Richards family for quite some time. Eventually, she does take care of Valeria when she's born, like, decades later / 3 years later in story continuity.
Well, I mean, actually, in actual publishing time, it's, like, 40 years later.
Yeah. But it's, like, what, three years later, 5 years later? There's not a huge age gap between the two characters.
There isn't, but weirdly, I've always felt that, like, Franklin was 5 when Valeria was born.
Yeah, yeah. So. I could co-sign that. So at one point, Sue and Franklin actually hide out in Agatha's creepy house on the hill when the Atlanteans attacked New York and they didn't feel safe staying at the Baxter building. She never moves into the Baxter building. She's like, I'm staying in my witch house.
I want to say, though,
I got my runes on the wall and you're coming to me.
This might be my crazy brain putting stuff together. I want to say, like, she walks through a mirror into the Baxter building. Like, she doesn't walk there. Yes. She just, like, pops in.
No, she's not taking the bus to New York City. No. I believe it is a mirror, yes.
She, like,
or a painting or...
A portal or something.
Yeah. She magically transports herself. Yes. So, for all intents and purposes, she lives next door, I guess, is a way to think about it. She lives in the granny shed in the back.
Okay. The granny flat?
Yeah, the granny... Thank you.
Yes, the granny flat.
Granny flat. Thank you. Agatha kept the scope of her full magical powers fairly close to the vest, although it is heavily implied that she and Franklin shared a special bond and kept things hidden from Sue specifically. And this kind of bothers Sue because she's his mommy. Mm-hmm. She wants to put her nose and figure it out. And when Sue expressed to Agatha that she thought Franklin may have been developing powers, Agatha appears to dismiss this out of hand as Sue's overactive female imagination. Because this is like, you know, the 60s. And it's not until Agatha used her powers to free Reed Richards from the negative zone that the full scope of her powers is revealed to the Fantastic Four and then also to the readers at large, because Agatha was sort of this weird witch lady who lived on the hill up until this point in publication history. And given the fact that she was caring for their son and had just saved Reed's life, the Fantastic Four aren't too cross with Agatha for having sort of kept everything close at hand. They're like, okay, I guess this is fine. We're just going to keep, you're going to come tuck him into bed tonight? Okay, great. Thank you so much. Goodbye. From that point forward, Agatha would often reach out with cryptic warnings or pieces of advice, which would aid the team just in the nick of time or when a threat was on the way, or basically when we needed a plot device for a convenient fix. Agatha even went so far as encouraging the Fantastic Four to get back in contact with Dr. Doom as an ally and to ask for his aid during a particularly trying time in their history. So I think that's kind of cool. Also because Dr. Doom is sort of, like Agatha, like Wanda and Pietro, falls into that sort of vaguely Eastern European camp of the Marvel Universe.
And also, dear listeners, if you go listen to our Doom episode, mm-hmm. where Dr. Doom says, "Bah," a lot. Dr. Doom has been several times the runner-up
Yes.
For the Sorcerer Supreme.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. He has. He is.
He is a sorcerer. He is the
Venn diagram of magic and science in a lot of ways. Yes. For the Marvel comic book universe, mm-hmm. I think Thor's kind of taken that mantle up in the MCU. Reed even once asked Agatha to link his mind directly to the President of the United States to warn him of an impending threat from Galactus, continuing the trend of Reed Richards playing God where he shouldn't be. Immediately after this, there's literally no reason that Reed Richards needs to be inside the president's brain, but Reed thinks he's so important that he has a witch connect him. That's an insane violation of someone's privacy and an overreaching of the power of someone who is not a public official.
Look, I'm just going to say, based off of certain presidents, that we could use a Reed Richards in that brain. I'm just saying.
I am not pro Reed Richards.
You know how many clean energy sources Reed Richards has created?
Yeah, and he can call up the president, send him a nice email, nice clean email. Doesn't have to be right in the or woman or non-binary person's brain.
Richards doesn't work that way. Sorry.
No, and that's why he turned his friends into monsters.
It was an accident. Dear God.
Immediately after this incident,
Agatha killed her friends on purpose. Reed did it accidentally. You're giving more shade to Reed.
That's true. But Reed's a white guy and he deserves it. Immediately after this.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just waiting for people to come for me on Twitter.
You are opening the floodgates on this one. So good luck.
Agatha goes on a secret trip. Somewhere. And when she returns, she had dedicated herself to helping Franklin fully come to terms with his powers because they had been beginning to emerge. So when she saw that his powers were emerging, she like hopped off somewhere and then came back. And she actually is the first one to kind of help Franklin channel his abilities. And she arguably puppet masters him into destroying Ultron. Having spent so much time working with the Fantastic Four, Agatha's son, Nicholas Scratch, remember him? Was able to seize control of New Salem, because she wasn't there, and convince the magical community there that she had betrayed them by working with a science team. So we're a science v. magic fight coming up. Agatha was then abducted and dragged back to New Salem to stand trial, with Franklin in tow because she was his nanny and looking after him at the time because his parents could never look after him. She is held by Nicholas Scratch's children, a.k.a. her grandchildren, who have named themselves Salem Seven. Woo! Like the Fantastic Four! Get it? Mm-hmm. And it takes the combined powers of the Fantastic Four to free Agatha and New Salem, and drag her from the location and out of their image as being evil. Salem 7 did eventually take back their community. They capture Agatha. They succeed in burning her at the stake where no one else had ever succeeded before. So they finally burn her. She dies. Jason.
Yes.
Do you know who then flew in on her broomstick to avenge Agatha Harkness's late in the day death?
I mean, is it Scarlet Witch?
That's right. It's the Scarlet Witch.
Did she actually fly on a broomstick?
No,
she did.
No,
okay,
that's a joke.
I don't think I've ever seen a panel where Scarlet Witch actually used the broomstick.
Because they're witches.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
So Wanda shows up. She funnels the Salem Seven's energy back against them, decimates the entire town of New Salem, Colorado, which is pretty much her modus operandi to just kind of come in and like obliterate a town that she has nothing to do with, if we're going to be completely honest. Wanda then uses the remaining residual energy to impregnate herself with the Vision's children, who are eventually born to be Billy and Tommy, a.k.a. Wiccan and Speed. The interesting thing about Scarlet Witch showing up at this point is that her and Agatha have basically never appeared together in publishing history. As far as readers had known, they had nothing to do with each other.
Except they're both witches.
Yeah, they're both sort of vaguely Eastern European ethnically looking ladies who are both called witch and have these sort of unharnessed magical powers. And this starts the sort of retcon that Agatha is a mentor to Wanda.
Yep.
Depending on your continuity, depending on whether Wanda's a mutant or a witch, depending on whether she is Magda's daughter or Natalia's daughter, it kind of depends on what her relationship with Agatha looks like, but it's after she saves Agatha that we basically get the implication that not only has she raised the Fantastic Four children, but if she didn't raise Wanda, because like Bova kind of carries that weight for a long time, she was definitely an instructor, or Wanda was an apprentice to her for some time, either in her childhood or adult life. Mm-hmm. An ambiguous amount of time later, Agatha resurfaced and explained not never not once how she survived or cheated death, whether she was resurrected or what she has been up to since her last appearance.
Comics.
Yes, very that. She then reveals that the Scarlet, publicly reveals no less, that the Scarlet Witch's children are actually fragments of the soul of Mephisto. Jason, who is Mephisto?
Mephisto is Marvel Universe's devil, basically.
Yes, who everyone thought was everyone in WandaVision.
Well, yes, for a very long time, everybody thought that, of course, Mephisto was going to make an appearance on a Disney Plus show. But then most people forgot that these Disney Plus shows must air in China, and China does not like devils or supernatural stuff.
Yes.
Or will not buy shows that have that stuff in it. Yes, they don't like the Harry Potter.
You know what? We could all do better than Harry Potter.
I agree.
Hot take. I think I've said that several times.
You man, this is going to be the episode that gets our most emails of, oh man. And as long as most of them from Catherine Hahn, I'm okay with
it. Agatha is so irritated by the fact that these are fragments of Mephisto's soul that she wipes Wanda's memory and then assists Mephisto in reabsorbing Billy and Tommy into his creepy, creepy body. So she basically kills Billy and Tommy as they have existed up to this point in the Marvel Comics universe. She is then able to position herself as a mentor to adult Wanda and help the Scarlet Witch gain more proficient control of her powers the same way she did with Franklin, except Wanda is a fully grown woman. This is the same storyline which introduces the idea that Wanda doesn't actually have mutant powers, but instead is a powerful channel for chaos magic. This is a terrible idea. Unfortunately, WandaVision fully followed this and I am not here for it. Then Agatha dies again, this time for real. The Scarlet Witch discovers the truth about what happened to her children, Billy and Tommy, so she murderizes Agatha, the woman who murderized her children. While dead, Agatha haunts Wanda for a while. Haunting, to be fair, may or may not be the correct term, but her spirit hangs out with Wanda. And this is highlighted in the previously mentioned, penned by James Robinson, Scarlet Witch solo series that started in 2015 with those really, really cool David Asha covers. She appears as a ghostly figure.
Like an Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Except white, not blue. She follows Wanda.
Like there's such a difference with the colors of ghosts.
Well, I just want to, it's much more classically ghosty, that's all. Then more classic ghost, more Casper, less Force ghost. You know what I mean? She kind of follows Wanda around to like deliver helpful information as the story demands it. And then she's like, wow, Wanda, you killed me. And Wanda's like, yeah, but like, I didn't mean to. And then she'll be like, ha ha ha, you old cow. I love you. It's a very strange relationship.
Do they actually call each other cows?
Wanda calls her an old bag. She calls her a cow. She calls her ungrateful. Like, they're kind of mean to each other.
Okay.
But they're sort of always there. This is the period when Wanda reinvents her life in New York City. She maintains her identity as a solo hero and embraces the idea of witch and the historical implications of witch and makes sure to carve out a space for herself separate from the Avengers. And what's cool about the comic series itself is that each issue has a different artist. So you get to explore a different location as well as you get to see a new sort of approach to telling the story. So Wanda will go to Greece to fight the Minotaur and meet with Hecate, and it'll be drawn by a different artist who draws it like a mosaic. And then in another issue, she'll go to Japan and she'll fight a kitsune spirit or an oni and things like that. So we kind of get a tour around the world of different witchcraft traditions. So it's a neat series.
Okay.
And it's really, really beautiful. And despite Agatha ostensibly being at odds with Wanda, who had literally just murdered her, she very much kind of slips back into that role as mentor. She helps Wanda embrace her identity as the Scarlet Witch. This is also the story that introduces the idea that the Scarlet Witch is a legacy, that her mother was the Scarlet Witch and her grandfather was a Scarlet Witch, and on back through history,
which might be familiar to a lot of people,
television fans. Yep. Yes. But you can't keep a good witch down, though. Agatha is eventually resurrected by Natalia Maximoff. Jason, do you know who Natalia Maximoff is?
I don't.
So Natalia...
But I assume it's related to Wanda Maximoff.
So Natalia Maximoff is, at certain points in Marvel history, I think the current, but I'm not all on my up and up with the Scarlet Witch right now, the mother of Wanda and Pietro.
Ah.
So she is a powerful Romani witch before Wanda, she was the Scarlet Witch. This was also when we were pretending that they weren't mutants. Mm-hmm. But we were also pretending that they hadn't been experimented on. So typically Wanda's, and this is not the Scarlet Witch episode, we have the Scarlet Witch episode. Typically Wanda is Eric and Magda's daughter, who is adopted by another couple whose last, I can't remember the woman's name, but the man's name is Django with a D, who was adopted by a family and raised by them. In this continuity, Natalia is her birth mother. Eric never and Magda never came into it. And then the couple that raised her are her aunt and uncle. Mm-hmm. It's a bad retcon.
I agree.
A bad retcon. But what's the only reason I'm bringing it up and I'm bothering to explain it is because Natalia, powerful witch, sacrifices her soul to the goddess of witchcraft, an abstract arcane construction of the Marvel 616 universe. And this act of sacrifice gives Agatha a physical body back in the land of the living. That is how we get her alive in the current comics universe today at the time of this recording. So, okay. Big circle. She doesn't want to live in Wanda's creepy house anymore because she doesn't have to haunt her because she can exist wherever she wants.
Plus, she hates decorations.
Yeah, Wanda's tacky. She's so much red.
Everything's covered in red.
You would never be able to go to sleep. Yep. You'd be so aggravated all the time. Mm-hmm. So she moves to Wondagore Mountain to live happily ever after with Ebony, her familiar, until she is forced to sacrifice Ebony for the power to look into the future. So she kills her little kitty cat.
Why does she need to look in the future? She needs lottery numbers?
Actually, that's a great question to ask Tom King.
Oh, okay.
So, Agatha in...
The writer of the Vision series.
Yes.
Yes.
In contemporary comics... it's established that she can scry. Scrying is a magical way of looking into the future. There's a bunch of different traditional ways to do it. There's a bunch of different physical ways to do it. The Marvel 616 scrying tool of choice is the Wondagore Everbloom, which is that really weird flower plant that she brings to in the Vision.
Sure.
So she to look into the future, you have to feed the plant blood because it's like, feed me, Seymour. And then it lets you look into the future. So she sacrifices Ebony to Audrey 2 to look into the future.
I don't like comic book Agatha. She's a meanie.
She's evil.
Yep.
She is an evil witch.
Yep.
And like I mentioned, fans of Tom King's Vision series, which is a really great book, will know what this plant looks like, what Agatha kind of looks like in the modern day, because she does appear in the miniseries, and the Everbloom shows her a vision of the Vision standing in his family home, covered in blood with his family and friends, their corpses surrounding him. And then the miniseries kind of unspools and explains whether or not that's true and what that means. Agatha does some more work after this with the Daughters of Liberty. That was like that group that she was a part of way, way back. It gets a resurgence in the contemporary era. She is recruited by Peggy Carter. And along with Peggy Carter, she confronts Captain America, who was accused of killing Thunderbolt Ross at the time. Her primary work with the Daughters of Liberty around this time is to basically connect them to Selene, who is a powerful witch, just like in a lot of the mythologies and goddess stories of our world in the 616, powerful witch of the moon. And for all intents and purposes, Selene is also a powerful mutant. Agatha is a key player in recruiting Shuri to the Daughters of Liberty and helping Sharon Carter transition into her career inside the Iron Patriot armor. So the modern day Daughters of Liberty is basically where for a little while, Marvel Comics was throwing all their female characters they didn't really trust enough to either put on the Avengers or give a solo series to.
They didn't think you'd sell a solo series, basically.
So they kind of whacked them all into this book for a while. It's a good idea. I don't think it played as successfully as they will hope in terms of the story, in my opinion. And that's where I'm going to end the episode on Agatha Harkness, because anything else is like within the last couple years, and we try not to be too spoilery.
Sure.
Woo! Now, before we go into the recommended reading, I want to tell people about some other books that they can pick up, namely from our store. Right, Jason?
That's correct.
Thank you.
So everybody out there, we haven't talked about this on another podcast yet, but we are moving, and not out of Los Angeles, to a different place in Los Angeles. So the Geek Casual Lesson studio, that is our apartment, is moving. And because of that, we have a lot of books we've written, like the Ringo-nominated Jupiter Jet and Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio and the Ringo-nominated Science, the Elements of Dark Energy. Those are all ages books. And we have my nonfiction book, Super Soldiers, about superheroes and military, their connection to the military. We have all those books. We have boxes of those books. And that's why we have a moving sale right now. So all of these books are priced cheaper than you would find them on Amazon. And they all come signed. And
because we don't want to carry them.
If you go over to jasoninman.com/store, you can get a signed book. And you can help make our boxes much lighter so that we don't break our back, so we can continue making Geek History Lessons. So go check out some of our books. We're very proud of them. It's the cheapest you will ever be able to buy a brand new copy of our books that is signed. So it'll be like that for the next couple weeks at jasoninman.com/store. And now we're going to go to the recommended reading. This will be interesting because I don't know. I don't think Harkness has ever led a book, but we're going to find out. If you go to our website, geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading, you can find these three choices that Ashley's going to recommend that you read if you want more Agatha Harkness. And then we have little widgets. You click on them, you can go straight to Amazon, you can pick up the book.
And while you're on Amazon, give our books that you have also bought a 5-star review or just an honest review, because the reviews really help.
Sure.
So if you want more Agatha Harkness in your life, I can't promise she'll look like Catherine Hahn, but she'll be an evil witch, and that's really fun too. I'm going to recommend, firstly, Scarlet Witch Volume 1, Witch's Road. That is the James Robinson, that Scarlet Witch solo series that I talked about. This is the most Agatha bang for your buck because she is the second female lead of this series. It's the most she ever gets to do. And it really dives into her relationship with Wanda. If that's something that you enjoyed in the series, it's very different than that. But this is definitely the blueprint for where that comes from. Plus, the book is freaking gorgeous. My second recommendation is the Fantastic Four number 94. Specifically, that is her first appearance. The link you're going to find on the website is to a digital copy. You cannot get a print collection of this.
I bet you it's in a Masterworks.
Currently being published. The Masterwork it's in is not currently being published.
Okay. All right.
You have to buy an old one. And the Omnibuy, there are three volumes of the Fantastic Four Omnibuy.
They probably haven't made it up that high, have they?
They stop at issue 93. They stop the issue before she's introduced.
Some people would say that maybe she's cursed.
If I can find a listing for the Masterworks that is under $150, I will include it. I could not find one, so that's why I'm specifically recommending this first issue, because it is a cool issue. You get to watch them sleep at her house. It's really weird.
Yep.
I like it a lot. And then I'm also going to recommend, lastly, the Vision and Scarlet Witch. That's what it's titled. It's basically a collection that Marvel put out. They do these every time there's a tie-in thing. And it's kind of the greatest hits of these characters. Agatha appears in all but 2 issues. So if you want to see classic Agatha, a lot of her early influence on those characters, that is where you want to go to check her out. So that's my recommended reading for this issue.
Next is the honor roll.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no. Teaching tweet?
No.
We're not doing a teaching tweet?
Then, well, next is technically the discussion.
I figured we talked enough. You want to do a discussion? We can do a discussion. That's where we just talk more.
Yeah, I have one question.
I have one answer.
Is there any way we are going to see a classic version of Agatha Harkness in the MCU?
Yeah.
Do you think it's likely?
Well, it would take some, I could see them do some weird thing where they age Catherine Hahn up, where mm-hmm. she gets gray hair. There is some stuff in the WandaVision television series that sort of supports that.
Mm-hmm.
But no. I mean, come on. It's a Hollywood executive, producer, you know, there's big company, Disney. There was no way they were actually going to cast an old lady as Agatha Harkness. I mean, look at it. They like the closest. I mean, Catherine Hahn is what, in her early, late 40s, early 50s.
I have no idea.
That was as old as they were wanting to go for a lady that is like several hundred thousand years old.
I'm going to tell you.
That should have been played by Maggie Smith.
Yeah. I don't think Maggie Smith acts anymore.
Oh, did she retire?
Yes.
No, that's a tragedy.
Catherine Hahn is in her late 40s.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That was as old as they wanted to make Agatha Harkness classically portrayed as an older woman.
Yeah.
That's just what? That's
ageism?
That's ageism. That's Hollywood, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was my question. Now we can do the teaching tweet. Jason's favorite part of the podcast.
The teaching tweet is where Ashley is going to give you everything you need to know about Agatha Harkness summed up in 140 who the hell knows how many characters Twitter has now. And you can go find this tweet at GHL Podcast on Twitter.
Agatha Harkness. Blessed to be played by Catherine Hahn. It was Agatha all along. #HahnCon 2022.
We're going to hear it was Agatha all along.
Until we die.
Until we die.
Literally until the end of our lives.
All right, cool. So the next section, Ashley, is the honor roll.
It is the honor roll.
And that is where, listeners, if you go to Apple Podcasts and you leave this podcast a 5-star review, we will read whatever you write on the air as our thanks for helping us in the Apple algorithm. Ashley, who is joining the honor roll this week?
Oh my gosh. So we have an international listener joining us this week. And let me tell you, when I saved their screenshot, it didn't save their, it doesn't have their username on it. So I'm going to panic, go back and find their username.
Well, you know what?
But I will read it first.
Well, you know what? I'll give you some time to look at it.
Okay, great.
Because I want to set the mood here before we go into the honor roll.
I found it, okay.
Oh, wait, no. We're into this bit now. You know when you walk into Hong Kong 2022, what I meant to play is this. Oh, it's not working. What happened? Oh, this is lame. All right, Ashley, read the tweet.
So I want to say, this is from Maui Powie, 2318, and they screenshotted their review as they were writing it, right before they sent it.
Okay.
And behind it, I can also see 2 5-star reviews. They're from Mexico, but it's like the picture of their reviews right in the middle. So I can only see the words at the beginning and the end. But if you're from Mexico, please send us your reviews. International people, we don't have access to your Apple Podcast. So if you want to be shouted out like the amazing Maui Powie, you've got to send us a screenshot to geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. And we love you, but we want to stay in your guest houses. So please continue to send them to us. And they say 5 stars, best podcast. Hi, I'm Mexican and I love your podcast. I've gotten into comics thanks to you and your recommended reading. Keep being awesome hosts. The awesome hosts you are that make geeky information fun and cool. Also, I would love to hear the Bart Allen lesson. Me too, my friend. I love your work. Keep it going.
I thought it was over. There you go. Thank you so much for
that
international review.
Yeah. And because international reviews are very special things, we like to have one an episode. And I can also see that they were listening to Superboy John Kent at the time they were writing this.
Oh, good for them.
Because of the screenshot.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we love. So thank you so much, Maui Powie. Professor Jason, what's going on in the teacher's lounge today?
Well, in the teacher's lounge, it's actually Hong Kong 2021.
Ooh, because we're safe.
And Catherine Hahn is here. And she's singing a little ditty.
How does she look?
Messing up everything.
It's been Agatha all along.
There you go.
Those pipes.
Yep. You know, it's so great because that actually hit iTunes the week it came out. And I saw an interview with Catherine Hahn being like, I never thought I'd be number one on iTunes.
An icon. We should all be so lucky.
So, yes, you've got a personal serenade from Professor Catherine Hahn, future guest of Hong Kong 2022.
Just what I always wanted.
Go over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on all the places that you listen to podcasts. iHeartRadio. It really helps the podcast. Also, don't forget to follow us on social media. Ashley, where can they follow this podcast on social media?
You can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, of course, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHL Podcast.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. You can follow Ashley on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. And also, you can come over to the Patreon, listen to the new Justice League podcast, but we also have an episode of Geek History Lesson Extra. It's our companion podcast where we talk a little bit more about the subject. And this week is, what are we talking about, Ashley?
We are reviewing season one of WandaVision.
The whole thing was spoilers. So
Full
spoilers. We're going to talk about the ending, how successful of a season we want. So if you're curious about that full review, come on over to Patreon.com and also get that Just League podcast. Hook that up. All right. We're now into the final section of the podcast. Hashtag stick around where we make sure you stuck through all the plugs. Ashley.
Jason.
What are we talking about?
So you kind of took the wind out of my sails.
How's that?
My question was going to be, will Marvel give her a solo comic book series before the end of the year? And we've both joked about that. So instead, I'm going to hard pivot and say, who would be a great artist for that solo series?
Do you have a pick?
Well, when I think witches, I always think Nicola Scott first, of course.
Oh, for Black Magic?
Yeah, but she is like crushing that DC game right now, and I don't know if they're going to let her go.
I'm just going to go Francavilla, because he drew like some spooky...
Ooh.
Did he drew Sabrina, or just drew Life with Afterlife?
No, he did Afterlife.
Who drew Sabrina?
Robert Hack drew Sabrina.
That's who should draw Agatha.
Yeah.
Agatha Harkness.
That's a great pull.
I mean, they should, to be honest with you, they should just call the comic book Agatha all along.
Oh my God. I would love Marvel. You can hire Jason and I at any time.
Just hire Ashley.
I would love an Agatha Harkness, like DC kids style standalone graphic novel set during the time of the Salem witch trials, where you could like...
It's going to be a kid style book?
Well, what you do is you make it about, right, like connecting with nature. Like you kind of go back to that like cunning woman tradition, right? Like you have her be like a medicine woman or the daughter of a medicine woman, and you see her with animals. And I just think you could do something really cool with that. You either have to do that or you have to go full Chilling Adventures of Sabrina / DC Black Label.
I think you're going
murder people.
I think you're going Chilling Adventures.
But I think that would be very interesting. Because
sure.
I think in Agatha, I think any character can have a solo series. We've seen that proven again and again.
Yep.
I think she is poised for it.
Well, she's very much in the zeitgeist now.
Exactly. But I think magical characters without very specific limitations have a hard time existing in a superhero universe. Doctor Strange has specific limitations in a way that Agatha does not, in a way that Wanda does not. So I think a solo series with her would be best self-contained. With Kevin Wada covers, please. Thank you.
We'll see you at HanCon 2022, everybody. Very excited. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Warlock Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Witch Ashley, will you please conclude this covenant spell of a podcast?
Class is now dismissed.